is CBS High in the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New York Democratic primaries, determinative in a dominant Democratic state. Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News is here to help me understand what we learn from three particular New York Democratic primary races in and around New York City for the party, for the state, and also for what needs to be done with the map drawing the congressional districts so that we do not again have an experience where veteran Democratic politicians are knocked out by another Democratic veteran politician. Harry, a very good evening to you. We begin with the New York 10th, which is a new district. I believe it touches the important prosperous parts of Brooklyn and into Manhattan. So because it's a new map, if people haven't visited New York, those aren't quite contiguous. There is this thing called the East River between them, and then there's the New York Harbor. But in any event, the winner is a new name to me, Mr. Goldman. What do we know about him, Harry? What is his profile in the Democratic Party? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So we know that he is, he was the lawyer for the first Trump impeachment. He's on MSNBC and CNN all the darn time. And he's very wealthy. He's the heir to the Levi Strauss fortune, the gene money guy. And he spent $4 million in change of his own money on this congressional race with an incredibly crowded field for a rare open seat. And that was enough to get him 16,000 votes in first place with about 25% of the total, 1,000 votes ahead of Yulee Niu, a member of the New York State Assembly, and a farther left progressive. And that presumably is enough to get him into Congress. But, and I say enough to get him in because the general election is, as far as the Republican Party is concerned, is meaningless here. It is an overwhelmingly Democratic district. But Niu now is flirting with running on the Working Families Party line in the general election publicly. She said she's considering it. The party has said so. Usually the Working Families Party line. It has a separate ballot line, but the purpose of the party is generally to push Democrats farther to the left. So the case for doing it, in brief, is that there's no way they play spoiler here. The Republicans are entirely irrelevant. It was a very crowded field. She came very close. Why not? The case against it, in brief, is that the Democratic establishment promptly lined up behind Goldman after he won this contest, and a high-profile war on the left or amongst Democrats of different stripes would drain money and attention from other races at a moment when the party is trying very hard, including with DCCC Chair Sean Patrick Maloney, who I think we'll get to maintain control of both houses of Congress. So that was a race that we thought was done after this low turnout on August Election Day. Weirdly, that was the second primary day of the year for New York, which owes to the state Democrats drawing extremely generous maps to maintain the Democrats there to maintain their own power. The courts then rejecting that map and the special master drawing new, more competitive ones, which created some interesting primaries. And we may have one more all Democratic contest to go in November, depending on what decision Niu makes. My read from the outside is that the WFP is eager to have this race. They see no reason not to. They've set themselves up. They no longer have big union support that they used to. Andrew Cuomo demanded the unions pick a side, and they all left. So it's an activist group now. And they have no reason not to stand up their bluff, live up to their stated values. But I think Democrats and the National Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries, would be very upset if Niu did this. It would be a big uphill climb for her. You'd have to raise a ton of money. This would have to have a national profile. And you'd be running against the Democrat in a very Democratic district with general election voters who aren't paying that much attention. And are going to see this guy who also got the New York Times endorsement, possibly, speaking of the rich getting richer, because he's a family friend of the publisher. So we may have a very interesting, you know, blue on blue fight there. Remains to be seen. The deadline is Tuesday, so we'll know quite soon for her to take the line or not.
In the 12th Congressional District, newly drawn, this is Manhattan. Mr. Nadler of the West Side against Ms. Maloney of the East Side. Nadler wins. Any surprises there, Harry?
He won by a wide margin. That was surprising to me, at least, given that both Nadler and Maloney had represented their districts, separate districts, for 30 years. Nadler's District 10 was redrawn to remove his base on the Upper West Side, which is why we had this wild, wide-open race, the Goldman one. Nadler winning here is still a loss for New York, simply in the, you know, Congress is based on seniority. The more of it you have, the more power you have, the more money you can deliver to your constituents. And while we kept Nadler, who is well past his prime, and the rumors are may want to be handing the seat off to Scott Stringer, his protege, this next election, something he denies, you know, we lost Maloney, who frankly also passed our prime. But, you know, we went from two senior members of Congress there with real power and ability to deliver, who headed big committees, to one. I would not have bet at the start of this race that Nadler would have won so easily. Chuck Schumer ended up endorsing him while most of the New York congressional delegation stayed out, you know, because it's a fight between two incumbents. But clearly, his political operation was considerably stronger in the end. I'm not sure there's any moral to be taken from that, to be quite honest.
And the 17th, Sean Patrick Maloney, the winner. However, Sean Patrick Maloney is a very powerful player in the Democratic Party, head of the DCCC, raising money and distributing it. Any surprises here? Because this was a choice by Mr. Maloney to run in this district and not what you could say was his original district.
He says, well, my house is in this district, a third of them are my constituents. But plainly, he shifted districts and forced Mondaire Jones, another progressive candidate, to run in New York 10. So to move from the Hudson Valley to Brooklyn, a freshman member of Congress, another person the WFP has endorsed in the past. And Maloney bigfoots him out and says, I'm going to run here, you know, with the sense that this is going to be a more winnable race for him. Alessandra Biaggi, another member of the New York State Legislature, who gave up her seat to run for Congress, intended to run for Tom Suozzi's seat in Long Island. As Tom Suozzi was running very unsuccessfully for governor, then shifts to challenge Maloney after Maloney pushes Jones out. It's all a weird game of musical chairs. And in a competitive purple district, unsurprisingly, Maloney triumphs easily over Biaggi. But now the DCCC chair has what's likely to be a very competitive general election still against Assemblymember Mike Lawler. So this is a chance for Republicans to pick up a seat and claim a scalp. Surely Maloney is going to be sending considerable party resources, which he controls, his own way to try to fend that off. But it's going to be an interesting race and one worth watching.
And finally, or is it finally, Mayor de Blasio was mentioned as a candidate, a strong candidate, in the 10th, going to Dan Goldman. Is this the end of Mayor de Blasio, or is he going to make another comeback play? We have less than a minute, Harry.
He says he's done. He's teaching a class at Harvard. He entered this race. This guy was the mayor. He ran for president. He wanted to run for governor. And then he ran for Congress. And in this crowded field, he was at the bottom of the field. I know internal polling from other campaigns had him within the margin of error of zero. He dropped out. It was humiliating. And I think that really helped open up Goldman's lane as the sole white guy standing in this very crowded, very diverse field. But I do think in terms of running for office, this is probably it for de Blasio. But by running, he got one last campaign in which people who owed him favors from his time as mayor, when he'd done things for them, were able to legally deliver money. So I think it might have been worth the humiliation for him to be able to clear his books that way at the end of a not so storied, as it turns out, political career.
Harry Siegel, columnist at the New York Daily News. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.